Grace and peace. Today I'd like to talk to you for a little bit about the spirit of counsel. We're going to be coming out of the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Mark chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. And the Bible reads, if I can get it here. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Verse 20. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Again, that's Mark chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. And I did take that out of context. I took that out of the telling of the tomb, the man at the tomb, okay? The man of the Gadarenes, or however you, it helps you identify that passage of scripture. But just to give you a summary of what had taken place up to this point, Jesus had just got off the ship. And this man who was vexed with demons, the Bible said he was, the demon said that my name is Legion, for we are many. So these were strongholds of demons that had taken this man and had fully possessed him to the point where the Bible says no man could tame him. And there's several versions of this in the Gospels, but the Bible says that no man could tame him. So he lived, those spirits drove him out to the tombs and living among graveyards. And he was so strong. And if anyone knows, has any experience in deliverance or casting out devils, you know, when you're ministering in deliverance, you find that people who are under demonic influence, they tend to exert supernatural strength, right? They're able to move. They're able to throw things. They're able to throw their bodies. And people, unfortunately, when on an ordinary day, they wouldn't be able to do so. So those demons gave this man the supernatural strength, or I should say the manifestation of those demons operated in a supernatural strength to where chains couldn't hold him. He was uncontrollable, to say the least. And so no one in the town could deal with him. This was in the town of Decapolis. No one could deal with this man because he was so out of control, so fully possessed, not oppressed, but possessed. Where demons had taken complete control of him, and so he was just driven into the tomb, into the graveyard. So anyway, Jesus comes off the ship, and immediately the Bible says this man ran to Jesus and besought him, heal me, help me, begin to fall down and worship him. And so, you know, this conversation ensues to where Jesus is now dealing with demons. And that's not to say that we should pick up a doctrine of talking to devils, because devils lie. Okay. And I know that, you know, there are some who do that. But we want to be very mindful. This is like only one occasion where we see Jesus actually engaging conversation with the demons. So we don't want to, you know, we don't want to major in the minors. You know, there are things that God shows us so that we, you know, we can have a reference for something happening, especially those of us who minister in deliverance, so that we have a biblical, and listen, it's very important to have a biblical reference when you're ministering deliverance. I've seen some really weird things out here in the name of deliverance. But it's always good to have a biblical reference when you're doing the work of ministry. So I believe that the Bible is careful to include this so that if the time comes when we have to engage in conversation for whatever reason, we have some type of biblical reference, biblical platform, biblical foundation. But you don't make a doctrine out of that, okay? Because demons lie and they love attention. So, you know, to engage a conversation with the devil, unless the Spirit of God is leading you to do so for the sake of revelation. And I learned this from my apostle, Ivory L. Hopkins, the general of deliverance, which I thank and bless God for his life. But unless the Spirit of God is moving you to engage demons for the sake of revelation, for the sake of, you know, maybe a wisdom key, maybe God is teaching you something in that, you know, teaching you as a warfare strategy, that's different. Again, the Holy Spirit will move you in that direction. But to just pick up the doctrine of always having conversation with demons for the sake of, you know, showing yourself strong or mighty or some great one, you know, you don't really have to do that. Amen. Jesus gave you power. We all, those of us who are filled with the Holy Spirit, amen, we are the sons and daughters of God. We have that power. We don't have to showcase it. We don't have to demonstrate it. We don't have to publicize it. We have it. Amen. We have it. So we don't need to showcase or showboat or do any of those things, because those are the works of the flesh, right? So we want to stay far away from that, especially when we're dealing in deliverance, because demons look for things like that. Remember, if you guys listen to my podcast on the root of bitterness, and I talked about how Satan came to Jesus looking to find something in him, and he could not. So even when you're dealing in deliverance, the enemy will try to find things in you. Don't open that door. The Bible says give no place to the enemy, right? So let's not do that. So I just kind of wanted to highlight that point, because you'd be amazed at how many people have taken on talking to demons. And, you know, we just want to be careful, okay, so that we're not distracted from what the main purpose of the ministry of deliverance is, which is to set the captives free. It's not about us, people of God. It's about Jesus. It's about giving God glory and making his name great. It's not about us. Amen. So this is what happens. And Jesus has conversation with this man. The devil said, we are legion, we are many. And, you know, this whole discourse begins to ensue. And ultimately, Jesus ends up casting these demons into the swine. And I don't want to get into all that, because I may pick that up a little bit later and talk about that for a minute. But anyway, I just wanted to bring you to where we are. Because one thing you don't want to do is assume that everybody knows, because you'd be amazed. Not everyone has read the Bible thoroughly. You know, and praise God. So you don't ever want to assume that people know what you're talking about. Sometimes they don't. So it just helps to just kind of summarize. If you're going to take something out of context, it's wise. I found it to be wise, to take a few moments and just maybe bring people up to where you are, and then kind of pique their interest, so that they, can go back and search it for themselves, the Berean study for themselves. They didn't take what Paul said. The Bible said they searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying was true. So you want to certainly have that type of drive, that type of hunger, as the Bereans did. When you hear someone ministering something that piques an interest in you, or that maybe you have questions about, go and write those scriptures down, write those passages down, and go back and study and ask the Holy Spirit to bring revelation to you. So, talking about the spirit of counsel, in terms of deliverance, but not just that, just in our Christian walk, we need to have counselors. I know that, and I'm in training as a mental health professional. I'm a certified pastoral biblical counselor, but there are doors that I need to access, okay, that the Father is leading me into, that I need certain qualifications. I need a license. I need to gain access. And I think a lot of times when we receive prophetic words that God is doing something in your life and God is expanding you, or God is increasing you, or God is enlarging your territory, I think sometimes we misunderstand that that may require us to go back and, maybe pick up some certifications, maybe pick up some, training. I can give you scripture for that all day long. You know, there are times when Samuel came to David and he approached David, and David needed to, God was ordaining, David to be king of Israel. Well, David did not immediately take that seat, right? David did. It was 12, 13 years. It's been a minute since I've reviewed that, but it was a while. I think it was 12 years, before David actually occupied the throne of Israel. And so before that, after the announcement, after the prophetic word, there was a time of training, and David had to be trained in Saul's house. So in order for some of you, not all of you, but certainly for me, for certain doors that the Father is taking you into, it's going to require you to receive some training. Same thing applies to Joseph. God gave Joseph these wonderful dreams. You're going to be prince of Egypt. You're going to rule over the land. You're going to be a blessing to your people. You're going to be in a high leadership position, but you're not going to do that sucking your thumb up under your daddy's arm, you know, tucked up on his shoulder. So on his armpit. So it required Joseph. God used some circumstances. He used it, and it required him to go and to sit in Potiphar's house and to study and to be accused. and you know, and even go to jail. So I don't want you to misunderstand that there will be times in your life when God is certainly taking you to another place. Now, I believe that the Holy Spirit is bringing some confirmation to many of you right now. Some of you may have to go back to school. Some of you may have to pick up a part-time job. You know, it doesn't mean that you're less anointed than anybody else. It doesn't mean that God can't just front you the money. But there are some things that you need to learn in certain seasons so that you are well prepared for when you get to where God wants you to be. And so I said all of that to say this, still talking about the spirit of counsel, that for me, there were doors that God wanted me to access in my government, in my city, in my state. And just recently, I found out that it's actually multi-regional. Okay, God has opened some doors for me in Florida. So, but it began with that prophetic word. God told me at the beginning of 2017, when things started shifting in my life in a very dramatic way, the Lord said, I'm about to take you to some new places and take you to some new people. I had no idea what that process looked like, and I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I want to build this case. It's very important. As prophets and as apostles, we build cases. You know, it's not just here's what God is doing and here's what God, we bring revelation. We're not just prophesiers, but we carry as a prophet, a governmental prophet, a fivefold office prophet carries revelation. That means we're able to unlock recesses in your mind and help you understand the ways, minds, and thoughts of God. Okay. So when you have been called to do things outside of the ordinary, it may require you to do something outside of the ordinary. There's that common cliche, in order to have something different, you have to do something different. Friends, that's very true. So again, the Lord told me, I'm about to do something in your life. I'm about to shake some things up and blah, 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 blah. That was personal for me. Praise God. But it also required me to return to school and pick up, which is now my third degree. And I have two more to go. You know, my ultimate goal was to finish up my PhD. So it required me to pull away. And for those of you who have been following me on social media, I really tried to hold on to that, because I have a phenomenal Facebook friend thing, you know, and it was very painful for me to pull away. And I'm still struggling with that. But I have to be obedient, right? You know, we can either please the people or we can please God. Right. Matter of fact, the Bible said the fear of man brings a snare. So sometimes people are going to talk when they don't understand what God is doing in your life. And, you know, you just have to be OK with that. And you just got to go with God, because, again, when God is opening doors for you or taking you, you know, to other realms, other regions, other places, you're going to have to do something different. You're going to have to step out of what you've always known. And this is kind of what brings me into what I'm talking about here with this man, the demoniac. A lot of commentators of the Bible say the demoniac of Gadara, you know, this demon possessed man, or the man of the tombs, you know, however you identify with that. Jesus was requiring him to do something different. But let me finish up my thought, then I'm going to get back there, because I don't want to lose. I feel like the Spirit of God is talking to someone, and I kind of want to stay right there for a little minute. So what the Holy Spirit had me to do was to, you know, pick up social work degree and therapy and counseling and all of that. That's what the Spirit of God had me to do. Why? Because God was taking the gift of counsel, to get the wisdom in my life to another level. And it's not just counseling people at the altar or on a prayer line. Listen, hear my heart, people of God. I'm not knocking that. If that's where you're called, please do what God has called you to do. We need that. I'm just saying, for me personally, because I'm not that one that lift myself up. The devil is a lie. I remain humble because God exalts the humble. But for me, the call of God on my life was to take that to another level and to take that into the government, take it into governmental systems, take it to the mountain of education, take it to the mountain of business, take it to the mountain of healthcare. That's what God intended for me. And so for that, listen, and I don't care how anointed you are, or, you know, how long you've been preaching, or how many churches you have up under you, there are some people who will not open the door unless you have certain qualifications. So for me, it was necessary for me to go back and get those qualifications. And so in that, it's going to require, you're going to have to cut a lot of your spare time, a lot of your, you know, free time. You're going to have to cut that. And you're going to have to dig your heel in that season of studying in my church, my Charlotte church, we are in the year of the student. And not only is, you know, a lot of, God has blessed a lot of my people with education and so forth, but they're learning some things about themselves right now that, you know, unless we had decreed that prophetic season, they would have never learned it, or it would have been a delayed learning experience. Many of them are learning about their emotions. Many of them are learning about their relationships. Many of them are learning about their response. Many of them are learning about business. Many of them are breaking out, writing books. We have several home buyers. I mean, God is doing some phenomenal things for those who were able to grab a hold to it. I still have some that's struggling, but praise God, they're going to get there. Maybe a little rough, but they'll get there. Amen. So, you know, it's vital that we understand the ways, the timing of God. My mentor, Apostle Brinkley, I call him my mother apostle. She's very big on teaching about the ways of God. I mean, she's, you're talking about a phenomenal woman of God. Just love her to life. So I want to just kind of bring that out, because I feel in my spirit that some of you have received prophetic words that God is doing something new in your life. God is doing something different. God is taking you, you know, higher. And I want you to have an understanding with that, because sometimes prophets will give you a word and they leave you high and dry. Right? Old Testament prophets did not do that. If they brought you a word, believe you me, you had, by the time they left, you had a full understanding of, number one, what God was saying, and number two, what your responsibility was. And I believe that's why we have a lot of confusion in prophetic circles today, because we have a lot of prophets, and I believe many of them are called, but they have not yet tapped into the revelation of God. The revelation of the prophetic is more than thus saith God said, get ready. You know, you have to give people an understanding of, you know, why is God saying this right now? You know, and what does that mean for me? What is required of me? Shekinah Glory brought a song, and in the lyrics it said this, God said, the Spirit of God was crying out. He said, there's more that I'm requiring of you. So we're the kind of people that we've got our hands out, buckets open, you know, and we're ready to receive. But you've got to understand, people of God, that you have to partner with God. And there is a responsibility that you have to engage in. Otherwise, that word, you take that word to heaven when you leave here. Okay. So praise God. Back to Mark chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. So we're talking about this man, the demoniac at Gadara. And Jesus delivered the man. All right. We're talking about legions of demons. And again, it's been a minute since I visited this story, this particular passage. But this man was yoked up, y'all. He was yoked up. And it took the power of God to set him free. And Jesus did it. Jesus moved with compassion. And he did that. So I want to fall back to what's happening here. Because you got to go back and read it to get a full understanding. But I want to bring you to where I'm here. I am. Excuse me now in verses 18 to 20. So as Jesus had finished his work, he got back in the ship. And that's a prophetic revelation right there. When you finish your work, get back in the ship. Sometimes we do a work for people and we're hanging around. And listen, that anointing had lifted. I heard an awesome woman of God in Delaware last weekend ministering. And she said, when the Holy Spirit stops speaking, I sit down. I think that's key. When you know the Spirit of God is lifting, Jesus got back in the ship. You know, whatever your ship is, when you feel the Spirit of God lifting, right? When the Spirit of God has said and ministered what needs to be done, then your work is finished. Sit down. Amen. So Jesus got back in the ship. But the Bible said he that had been possessed with the devil prayed or begged him that he might go with him. And we understand that, right? This man had felt ostracized, rejected, cast away out of his society. And you really can't blame the people. I mean, come on. You know, and he just, I can imagine that he just did not know how to re-enter society. Okay. And this is very key, especially those of you ministering in deliverance. This is very key, because what we like to do, and I always include myself, right? What we like to do is we lay hands, we cast the devil out, or we pray over the people and they go and then that's it. But there are some people who need to be rehabilitated back into society. And I mean, that's a mental health term, thing there too. But you know, it's some people, especially in this case of this man, who had been bound by these spirits for so long, y'all, and not just bound, but separated from society, separated from his family, separated from life, a normal life, whatever that looks like today, to be honest with you, but separated. And he had been healed. God restored his mind. His health was restored. You know, his personality, he was returned to himself. You know, the Bible says, you know, the man returned to himself. He returned to himself, but there was a dilemma. And this is where the spirit of counsel comes in. You have to be able to identify when that person has a dilemma. Now, at the same time, you got to discern where some people just listen. There's some folks that want you to pacify them and babysit them and rock them and rock them and roll them. And you cannot do that because you will inhibit their ability to grow. All right. We don't, especially fivefold, those of you in fivefold, we don't, you know, we don't make babies. You know, we don't babysit. You know, the word God tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, we train you up to the full stature of a man in Christ Jesus. And so this is why sometimes for those who are true apostles, because the Bible says in Revelation, I know you have tried some that said they're apostles and found that they're not. Just because they have the name, anybody can have the name. You can listen, anybody can type apostle in front of their name. But when you see the signs and wonders following, when you can tap into the glory that the Spirit of God is walking them into, right? Then they'll be known by their fruit, not what they say, but by the fruit. So when Paul tells the church of Ephesus, he said, you know, it's your job, fivefold, to train these people and raise them, right? So that they become a full stature of a man into Christ Jesus. So it's one thing, you won't find an apostle babysitting or you know, rocking people. You won't find that. Not true apostles. You won't find that. That's just not a part of their call. That's not a part of, you know, that role of being an apostle. Apostles deal with grown people, or they raise them up to that level, and then they, you know, release them to go and do whatever God has called them to do. So, this man he wanted to return to Jesus because he didn't know how he needed to be rehabilitated. He didn't know how to re-enter society. How do I go back? Let me just put some flesh and bones on this. How do I go back to my family after I've been strung out on crack for 30 years? I'm just saying, you know, how do I return to my wife after I cheated on her? How do I return to my husband after, you know, I spent all the money? There are some people that will approach you for prayer. And you have truly prayed for them. You have truly ministered the word of God, the word of compassion, the word of reconciliation and restoration. You've truly done that, but there's still a dilemma. They don't know how, even though Jesus has forgiven them and even sins washed away, but they still have to go back and deal with their environment, their home environment. And that's where the spirit of counsel comes in, is to help people cross that bridge, help people, reposition themselves or reinvent, you know, especially when you, and God, I don't want to get into the bipolar, dissociative personality, but when you have a person who's had a split personality, how do you just cast the devil out and send them back home? For some people, they have to relearn some things. I know when I came to Christ, that's why we're called babes in Christ, because I've got to learn how to walk now. I got to learn how to talk. You know, I can't curse people out like I used to. I can't wear so there's a retraining that has to take place before some people can prosper. Even though they've been had demons cast out, even though they've received deliverance, they still need that counsel. They need someone to say, hey, let's talk about what you're feeling. Let's talk about how you feel about what happened or your readiness in terms of returning to that situation. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 reveals to us that the spirit of counsel is so important that it is named among the seven spirits of God. Now, this is not the Holy Spirit, but these are the seven attributes of God. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And the spirit of God, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now, we know he's prophetically talking about Jesus. Isaiah was a messianic prophet. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. Okay, or another word for might is strength, right? So the spirit of counsel, because you have some folks today who will say, you know, you can't counsel a demon, and you can't. Jesus didn't say counsel demons. Jesus said cast them out. However, we cannot deny the need for counsel. The Bible is filled with counselors. Jethro was a counselor to Moses. Ahithophel was a counselor to David. Just go down the line, people. The Bible, and listen, and this is why you have to have the Spirit of God when you study the scriptures, so that the Bible says, the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. In other words, if you're reading the Bible, merely reading the black and white, you are going to miss the revelation. You're going to miss the meat. So it's important that as you are studying the Word of God, you do so through the agency of the Holy Spirit, so that what is not written, the Holy Spirit can infer for you or reveal to you. And if that's not where you are, no worries. God has gifted teachers and gifted ministers who carry the gift of revelation. They carry the gift. We have awesome teaching gifts in the body of Christ. Buy the books. Subscribe to their YouTubes, or, you know, buy a CD. You know what I'm saying? Invest in that. If that's what you need, and if you don't have that in this season, it's okay. It's still made available to you. Connect, make some connections, but just make sure, like I said, the Bereans, verify and confirm everything that's being said. Okay. Cause you know, there's a lot of stuff out here. People of God, there's a lot of stuff out here. Isaiah 11:2, the Spirit of the Lord, shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Very, very, very powerful sevenfold spirits of God. And so you find here that the Spirit of counsel is mentioned. It is mentioned. It is an attribute of the Father. So it doesn't mean that you're pity-patting somebody's sin or playing with somebody's devil. Cast that devil out. But at the same time, Jesus understood this man needed counsel. Now, why do I say that? Glad you asked. Let's go back to Mark chapter 5, verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said to him, and I'm going to pull this out of context, because I do that sometimes. Go home to thy friends. And I want to stop right there, because when you're reading it, you'll read through the whole thing like I did earlier. But when you're studying it, you learn how to pull certain pieces of that scripture out, and you chew the cud, I like to call it. You know what I'm saying? Chew the cud is what cows do. They chew the grass and then they regurgitate it and they chew it again, right? You know, that's nasty, but that's what it is. And so what you're doing with scripture is you chew the cud. You read it. You study it. You may have to do some Hebrew transliterations. You may have to do some Greek transliterations. You may have to get some commentaries so that you can extract the meat out of the message. Jesus said, go home to thy friends. In other words, man, son, you have gone, woman, daughter. Okay, so I'm not going to put it on the brothers. You've been through a traumatic experience. You've been through being rejected from your family, from society, actually. There's no telling what damage has done internally. There's no telling how much damage has been done mentally. And so Jesus is saying to him, you can't come with me. It's not that I don't want to protect you. It's not that I don't want to be around you. And you got to catch that, because listen, if you're dealing with rejection, or you have an orphan spirit, and somebody says, no, you can't walk with me. No, you can't go with me. And you don't really understand why they're saying that. It can really make you feel some kind of way. You know, however, Jesus knew what you need, even though, yeah, I got it. But for your total healing, you need to go back to your family. You need to be rehabilitated. You don't need to hang with me, because listen, you hang with me, you're going to, you know, praise God, you're not ready for this level. And I think that's where a lot of us kind of we stumble a little bit, is that we want to go to levels that we're not ready for. And then when someone tells you, someone in an authoritative position says, no, you're not ready, it's not time. Again, if you got some broken emotions going on, you're going to take that thing personally and feel some kind of way. Oh, they're trying to shut me down. They don't like me. They're jealous of me. Come on now, please. You know what I'm saying? Please. It's not that. You just, and the fact that you responded like that is proof. You just confirmed the reason why they said you can't do that. I feel like I need to just get right back and say that one more time. If someone in an authoritative position, whether it's your church or your job or your family or whatever, okay, says to you, hey, I know you want to do this, but you're not ready for this right now. You know, you need to, you know, stay in your lane, stay on your level, go back to what you do. And then you take offense. You just prove to them that you're not ready. Right? You just confirm the reason why you can't go. So I think a lot of times our responses, if we would really listen to ourselves, I talked about that in the broadcast on the Root of Bitterness. When you examine yourself, why did I respond like that? Why did I get mad when she said that? Why did I get mad when he did that? Why I feel like I'm alone? Why ask yourself questions? Because, you know, listen, we are scholars trying to, you know, detect somebody else's movements and stuff. But ask yourself, why do I feel like this? Why am I acting like this? Ask yourself that question. Because no one can make you feel any kind of way. You have to engage in that type of emotion. You express that. You manifested that. Nobody made you do anything. So if you're feeling some kind of way, like this man did, this man in Decapolis, you know, if you would have copped an attitude, well, what you mean I can't go with you? You came down here. I got set free. I'm ready. No, you're not. Because even though the demons were cast out and even though the strongholds and the yokes were destroyed, there are still areas in your life that must be rehabilitated or built. And what the level that I'm on or what I'm doing, you cannot handle that. You're too vulnerable. You're weak. You know, the Bible said, let the weak say that I'm strong, but you have not been made strengthened in those areas. Jesus said to Peter, he said, when you are converted, strengthen your brothers. You know, so there's a process to trying to be a strength to someone else when you're being strengthened yourself. And you've got to come to a place of honesty and come to a place of honest evaluation and say, you know what, God, I've been delivered. I've been set free. I know I've got a song in me. I know I've got a dance in me. I know I got a preacher in me, but I'm not. It's not time yet. Believe me, what God has for you is for you. Nobody, just Samuel went to find David. Jesse didn't have the common courtesy of acknowledging David as his son, but the anointed would not release Samuel until he found him. So can I just encourage you and let you know that the anointing, when it's your time, the anointing will not release whoever your set person is until they connect with you. You won't miss God. So getting back to the spirit of counsel. So Jesus says, go home to your friends. Why? Because right now you need to be surrounded. You need to be loved. You need to be embraced. And Jesus is like, that's not what I'm here for. You know, I'm not going to be holding your hand. I'm not going to be telling you how awesome you are and you're beautiful and you're strong and you're handsome and you're going to be okay. That's not where I am. Does it mean I don't care for you? No, God forbid. It was my compassion that set you free, but it's not my assignment to hold your hand until you get strong enough to walk. That's not what I'm called to do. And I think there's a twofold understanding to that. If you were where Jesus was, okay, the minister, then you have to know your grace. And can I say something? There are sometimes, even as ministers, if there are broken areas in your emotions where you need the affirmation, you need people to call you and follow you around, then you're going to be a problem. You're going to be a problem because you'll never push back and say, hey, no, go back. Go and connect with so-and-so. No, I'm not calling you today. No, I'm not going to come to your house today. No, I'm not going to spend 5 hours talk. I'm not, you know, and you've got to not, again, the fear of man brings a snare. You've got to be okay with folks saying, you know, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with her? You got to be okay with that. When you know that your purpose is, listen, the same way I came and set you free, there are other people who need what you just got. So it's selfish of you to want to hoard me to yourself. When the same things you bless in God and you rejoice in God for in your right mind, somebody else needs. So on the behalf of the minister, you've got to understand your place of grace too. And you've got to be healed in your emotions that folk may get mad with you when you say, no, you can't come with me. No, we're not going to do this today. No, you can't do that. You got to be okay with that. Okay. You got to be okay. I tell about my pastor daughter in Charlotte, you know, you got to be okay with those sheepites. Some sheep, you know, as long as you say, yeah, they love you and God knows do anything for you. The minute you say no, they start to fight and bite you. You have to be okay with that. That's part of the work. So on the part of the person being ministered to, you know, you got to understand that if you just receive deliverance from something, you're not ready to go to that next level just yet. Even though God has a next level for you, it's not your next level day. This is not your next level season. This is your season of rehabilitation. And when you have someone who understands the spirit of counsel, they can share that with you. Like Jesus did, he shared that with them. You need to go back home to your friends. You need it right now. Man of God, you've been healed from traumatic pain, you've been healed from pain. Okay. Deep pain, deep hurts. This is not time for you to go do work of ministry. You need to go home. You need to be ministered to by the people who love you, by the people who know you, by the people who have been praying for you to get to where you are now. You need to go back to them and testify. You need to go back and prove that you are changed. You don't need to hang around with me right now. I don't need you to hang with me. What I need you to do is go back home. Okay? So when you have the spirit of counsel, you're going to have some challenging, and I learned this in therapy. You have to, training as a therapist, rather. You have to learn how to have some tough conversations with people. And you have to unlock some things that they may not be ready to see within themselves. But that's what counselors do. Counselors are not the ones who babysit you and tell you it's going to be okay. They will pull that ugly stuff out of you. Okay? Let me give you a couple of scriptures. I like to give some word on counsel. Let's see. Romans 15:14. This is Paul talking to the Christians at Rome. He says, "And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and are able to admonish one another, or you're able to encourage, or you're able to counsel others." Why? Because you're filled with compassion. And that's one of the things that you've got to have. If you want to operate in the spirit of counsel, you're going to have the compassion like Jesus demonstrated in Gadara. You're going to have compassion. You're going to have some patience and some long suffering. Listen, if you're kind of those ones that cut people off and don't want to be bothered, then that may not be your grace. And it's okay. Praise God. If that's not where you called, it's good that you know that. But if you're a person that God has given a heart of compassion and you're filled with knowledge, right? Scriptural knowledge, the ways of God, the things of God, even understanding people, the humanity. Paul said, "I'm convinced. I see that in you. I see the spirit of counsel in you. I see the compassion. I see that you're knowledgeable." It's very important to be a counselor. It requires knowledge. There's a lot of things that you got to know. There's a lot of things, a lot of questions you have to ask. We say assessments. You got to gather. You got to assess. You got to know what you're dealing with. Because Proverbs 18:13 says this: "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." So before you can give somebody some counsel, you first have to take the time to hear, right? What's going on? I taught a teaching back early part of the year on prophetic intercessors. Intercessors say, "Hey, there's a problem. Let's pray." Prophetic intercessors are like, "Wait a minute. Let's find out what's going on first before we go throw our hat in the ring." Prophetic intercessor. They examine the situation. They ask questions to the people and to God. And then they begin to decree a thing. But they just don't run with swords drawn to the battle. Prophetic intercessors don't do that. All right, so let me give you a few more scriptures, and I'm trying to wrap this thing up. So I gave you Proverbs 18:13, gave you Romans 15:14. Let's see here. Proverbs 13:10, and Proverbs is good. If you have the spirit of counsel, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It would be really helpful for you if you haven't already to put that tool up under your belt. Proverbs 13:10. "Through insolence comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel," not who hear counsel, but those who receive it. In the case of the man at Gadara, he received it. Listen, receiving counsel does not mean that you like what you heard. It does not mean that you agree with what you heard. but you know that it is what's best for you. And you trust in the person who is counseling you that they have your best interest at heart. We learn that all the time in class. It is not about you. It is about the client. It's not about you. You can't give your advice. You can't give your own thoughts. You have to work it out of the client, right? So, you know, being able to trust that counselor that even though they're telling you something you don't want to hear. I was watching a TV show last night about a counselor, and he got all in this man's business. And let me tell you something. And the man was angry, cursing and carrying on. And the counselor just sat there and just, you know, watched him, let him just go through his range of emotions. You're talking about rage. This man was in rage because the counselor hit something in him and he became defensive. He's a lawyer, high profile lawyer. And that counselor hit something in him. And that man went to cursing and carrying on or what have you. And the counselor let him go through it. Let him express everything. And then when he got done, he said, nobody ever said that. Nobody ever saw that about me. And it was an area he was trying to hide. But that counselor had an anointing to go in and dig it up. And didn't even, listen, again, a fear of the man bring a snare. Wasn't even afraid about the pushback. Wasn't even moved, but he didn't say, hey, get out of my office. How dare you? He just let him have his way. He said whatever he said. You blankety blank, blank, blank. How dare you blank? Do you know who I am? Blank, blank, blank. And he took it. He took it. Because that anger needed to be an eruption of raw emotions. That needed to take place. Some of you need to let your stuff come to the surface. Some of you have, and I mentioned this earlier, have become skilled at bottling up, you know, being passive. You bottle your stuff up. It's okay. I'm all right. But are you really? Are you really okay? You're not really okay if you have not released those pent up emotions. You're not okay. In some form or in some way, that frustration will escape. And God help you if you're in a place where that thing embarrasses you, because your emotions is not going to ask you for permission. If it's pent up, it's going to erupt. This is why you find so much happening in our land today, in America, in the U.S. today, gun violence. Why? Because people are angry. And that's why God is sending me into places now. I don't want to get into a lot of my personal stuff, but the area where God has me right now is where he needs me. And no one could have ever told me in 1,000 years that this is what I would be, this line of work. No one could have ever told me. But this is where I'm needed. Am I abandoning the church? No, God knows that all. That's my first love. But after I give the benediction, I have to get right back out into the community. I have to go ye into all the world. And when I tell you that I love what I do because it's my passion, God gave that to me to deal with people like this man at the tombs that are uncontrollable, out of sorts. And I can sit there and let them explode in emotions and wait for them to finish and then deal with them as I'm being trained. It's an awesome, awesome thing. And I bless God for it. Jesus said, go home to your friends and tell them the great things that the Lord has done. Now, I don't want you to read all of that together, because there's two things that the Lord told him to do. The very first thing was go home to your friends. That's first. Go home. The Bible said in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. You've been in an unsafe season for so long. You need to be around people who will encourage you and love you and embrace you and feed you and clothe you. That Jesus is saying, that's not my role in your life right now. And it's important, people of God, because I know people right now, there are people who have left churches because they expected the pastor or whoever, the bishop, the leader, the apostle, the prophet, whatever, to just babysit them. And can I tell you something? You can get your soul as a leader. If I had time, I'll tell you my personal testimony. God said, he told me one time I was about to get involved in something in the church between some people, because that's my nature, to help, to counsel. And in that situation, I had already done everything I knew to do, but I was still trying, because that's my nature. I love people. And the Lord became so angry. Let me tell you something about me, Delisa. God only has to tell me a thing one time. I'm not one of those 2 and 3 and 4, 5, 7, 15, 25 confirmations. One, you know, I'm a pretty good listener. And once he tells me a thing the first time, whether I like it or not, I get it. Because I've been chastised. I nearly lost my life being rebellious. So, that ship is sailed. I'm done. You know, I'm like, Mary, whatever you say, Lord, let it be unto me, even as you said. You know, and I'll just deal with the fallout or whatever happens, whatever. But if you said it, God, I'm going to do it. So, but there was this particular situation. I'm going to share it with you. And it was happening in my church many, many years ago. And, you know, I would always kind of intervene. I would always step in and call or go see or take people out to lunch and all of this stuff. And in this matter, God was angry with the people involved because they were messy. And what I did not know at the time is that the enemy was using them to be a distraction, not only to the ministry, but also to me. It was taking a lot of my time just dealing with nonsense stuff. Right. And here I was, you know, I got the phone call and, you know, oh, Apostle, you know, so-and-so, this is happening, so-and-so, so we need you, can you call, can you do this? And I was on my way. I had already told my family. I said, you know what, I got to go take care of this. And for some reason, I heard the Holy Spirit say, sit still for a minute. And I sat still on the sofa in my living room. And in a moment of time, the Lord Jesus appeared before me in a vision. And I want y'all to hear me very carefully when I say this. He didn't come to me as the Lamb. He didn't come to me as the King. You know what I'm saying? He came to me as a lion. Now, I have seen Jesus face to face. I have seen, I've been in the glory. I've been in heaven. I've been at the golden throne. I've been some places in the realm of the spirit. But I had never seen Jesus come to me as a lion, never in my whole life. And when he appeared before me, he roared in my face. And when I tell you, you're talking about somebody get up in your face, you ain't had nobody get up in your face. When he roared in my face, I could feel the heat of his breath. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I could feel the anger of God. Now, I know I've in my early walk, I've made the Lord angry because I just did some dumb stuff and I paid for it. Like I said, I nearly lost my life and I backslid. But once I rededicated my life to the Lord in 1995, May of 1995, my spiritual birthday, I had never turned back. I'm not going to tell you things were easy, but I never turned, never. From May 95 to right now, I've never turned back. But that experience is one I will never forget. You hear a lot of people say, oh, you humble, oh, you so-and-so-so. It's because when you've had certain experiences with the Lord, honey, it will humble you. Do you hear what I'm saying? When you had the same Jesus who died for you, who rose for you and who saved you, come before you in anger, the same one who called you to the work of ministry, the same one whose spirit you are filled with, but when he turns to you as an enemy, let me tell you something. Oh, you will get your stuff together quick. And he appeared before me as a roaring lion. And he roared in my face and his breath was so hot. I immediately broke out into a sweat. That's how hot his voice, how hot his breath was. And I immediately broke out into a sweat. I could feel the heat on my face. And he didn't have to say nothing. He didn't have to say, I dare you to go. I dare you to make the phone call. I dare you to leave this. Oh, he didn't have to say nothing. You ever know as parents, those of you that have children, and you give your child that look, and you don't have to say nothing. You know what I'm saying? You just kind of get like, you know, that look like I give my kids sometimes. Jesus didn't have to say nothing else to me. I sat there on the sofa in my living room after, and it was just a moment in time. He came, and let me tell you something. He expressed great disappointment, great anger in me. And I sat there, and my phone is ringing, it's buzzing. And I picked my phone up, and I said, you know what? I cannot come. I cannot go. and I hung the phone up, and they were mad that following Sunday. Oh, it was a mess. And all I kept saying, God, I said, I don't know why you didn't let me go, but here's what happened. But, you know, I didn't push back, but I said, God, I knew this was going to happen, blah, 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 blah. Come to find out, it was a coven of witches that were forming this nest, and I was enabling them by pacifying them, and God was dealing with it. But me, that, you know what I'm saying? Not knowing the boundaries. Oh, I don't want this one to get hurt. Oh, I don't want this one to leave. I don't want. And God was dealing with it. And I was getting in the way. And when he appeared before me to get out the way, let me tell you something. I didn't touch it. And you know what? Within a week later, every last one of them left. Every last one left. And they accused and all that stuff on the way out the door. And it's really okay. Because I knew what God was doing. I don't know who needed to hear that, because I'm telling you, the Spirit of God really came in and really, my God, I don't know who needed to hear that. But even as you operate in the spirit of counsel, you know, there are boundaries even in that. There's only but so far you can go. Know your lane, my friends. Know how far you can go. Be careful not to get your own garment spotted, trying to pull somebody out of the fire. There are some people that have to go through. They have to go through. And as compassionate as you are, you cry for them, you weep for them, you want to help them. But there's some things, I'm telling you, not what I read, I'm telling you what I know. There are some things you have to step back and let God do it. There are some people in your family, you have to let God chastise. Quit stepping in, quit interrupting, and let God do it. The Bible said there's a rod for the fool's back. The Bible even says how to chastise your son, and don't let your soul spare for his crying. And what you don't do, God will do. So even in the spirit of counsel, and I know we've kind of hit a turn there, but I'm going with God as the prophets do. Know your boundaries. Jesus said, you cannot come with me. I love you. I'm going to give my life for you, so that you think you got a measure of deliverance. You haven't seen nothing yet. But if you come with me in this season, you're going to slow me down. And not only that, what you need from me, I don't have the capacity to give you right now. I'm not good for you, and you're not good for me. Where you are needed, my friend, is with your family or your friends or around people that God has ordained to build you. Then the scripture goes on, tell them the great thing. Then you can share your testimony, or you can begin your ministry. And I need you all to follow that. He said, go home to your friends, comma, and then tell them what God has done for you and the compassion. And the Bible says, now you got to find this, and I'm closing, because this is, you know, praise God, this is really good. And I'm going, when the anointing lifts, I'm lifting too, right on off this podcast. And he departed and began to publish or preach or make known in Decapolis. Do you see that? I want you to follow that process. He got healed. He got delivered. He got set free. And he wanted to follow Jesus. So wouldn't. You know, this is the man that healed me. This is the man that cared for me. This is the man that set me free. You know? I want to follow you. I want to be with you. I want to stay safe around you. And Jesus said, no, because if you hang around me, I'm going to become your crutch. And that's not what I'm doing here. That's not what I'm doing. So I'm going to get back on the ship, and I'm going to go to my next assignment. You go to your family. You go to the people that I've already ministered to their hearts. I've already given them the compassion for you. I've already given them the understanding for you to accept you and to embrace you. There are people, once you receive deliverance, that are already graced to receive you. No matter how bad and terrible things you did, they God has given them a love to receive you in. And they're going to be the ones who nurse you back to where you need to be. These are going to be your nurses. The gift of helps. Okay? The gift of help, the ministry of helps. It may be a certain prayer circle, a prayer partner. I don't know what your friend thing looks like. But there are people, once you receive deliverance, there are people God is going to send you to and say, hey, go connect with them. And they're not going to ostracize you because of what you did or what you've been through or what your thing was. Because come on, we all got a thing. But God has specially anointed them to receive you and not to judge you and condemn you and remind you of what God has brought you from. They're going to receive you and they're going to clothe you. They're going to embrace you. They're going to feed you. They're going to build you. And then you'll be able to minister back to them what God has done for you. And then you'll be able to go to, amen, do public ministry. So I'm closing now. And I pray that the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart, you know, out of this message, this, about the spirit of counsel and looking at the man of Gadara and looking at some of the things that he had to go through. Look at Jesus's role and also look at the role of the man who had been delivered. Look at the role of those who he's been sent to and everything else the Holy Spirit revealed here today. Keep in mind and you know, maintain, you know, a reminder about balance, even in counsel. We call it counter transference. Okay. So I just want you to be blessed with that. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for those who were tuning in. I thank you for those who, Father, even received breakthrough. Some, Lord God, are in that place where the man of Gadara was, and they've been the ones that people have ostracized and cast aside and don't want to be bothered with. But God, I thank you that deliverance is on the way. If it hadn't come through this message, Father, it's on the way. And I thank you, Father, that when they receive deliverance, God, they'll know that, you know, it's not time to just run right back just yet to be, you know, coached back into that place, Lord God, so that when they run, they can run strong and they won't trip, they won't stumble or cause someone else to stumble. God, prepare those friends, prepare the friends in Decapolis, the family in Decapolis, prepare that special spiritual group of people who will embrace them as they're being delivered, as they've been set free. Who won't judge them, Lord God? Who won't condemn them? Who won't remind them of the sins of their past? But who will build them and love them, God, and help grow them to where they need to be so that they can do the greater works. I pray for those, God, who were the ones doing the work, the ministry work, the deliverance work, the counsel work, that we don't get it twisted, that they don't make the mistakes, God, that I did and that I, you know, I, it caused me to see a side of you that I don't ever want to see again. It caused me, God, you know, I was about to get my garment spotted, but the Lord, you pulled me out. So help us to understand even the balance in counseling, that there's some things that only Father, you can do, that we lead you. We lead the people to you. And it's not about us, that we don't take the role of Lord and Savior, that you are Lord of God. You are the, we're not Lord over your heritage, God. We're just servants, Father. So I pray for your people. I pray, God, an encouragement, God, a lifting of their heads, God. And I pray, Father, for the spirit of understanding to saturate this podcast, Lord God. I pray for the spirit of wisdom, all the spirits of the Lord that Isaiah mentioned, Lord God, will embrace your people, or that they will embrace it. And it will do greater works, God. Those who receive prophetic words, that they're going to do greater things, or you're opening doors, God, let them not be deceived in thinking that they can remain the same way. New levels require new levels. Our a new level of thinking, a new level of doing. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we bless you and we honor you, God. I bless my listeners in Jesus' name. Amen.